Last week we finished our series looking at the Ten Commandments, and because I've been given a free subject, I want to build on that a little bit. And I want to particularly think about our call to obedience. It is one thing to know that God has 10 rules, which, if you like, summarize some of God's heart for us. But we aren't just to know those. We are to obey them. You see, obey is not a word that we like. There are certain areas of our life where actually we struggle to obey. I want to think of a few of them. Maybe this morning, if you're a teenager, you might struggle to obey your parents. When your parents said to you they wanted you home by a certain time last night, I suspect you probably came half an hour later. Because part of being a teenager is actually pushing the boundaries, pushing the rules, just becoming independent. And actually obeying is something we struggle with. If you're a man this morning, maybe you struggle to obey the speed limits. Because as you know, when you get into a car, all of a sudden a new you takes over. All of a sudden you become Lewis Hamilton. Because after all, we're all from Stevenage. If it's good enough for Lewis Hamilton, it's good enough for us. And we actually know that these signs like this are just guidance for us. They are in fact what everyone else needs to obey, but they're just guidance for us. Or maybe if we're a lady. The Bible says, obey your husbands. If you're a married lady this morning, just raise your hand if you didn't say obey as part of your wedding service. Okay, that's a few are brave enough to do it. I suspect quite a few didn't, but didn't put their hands up. Those are mainly in jest. But it is true that we tend to view obedience in actually quite a negative way. And I pray that this morning we will go away with a biblical view of obedience rather than a worldly view of obedience. Because in the Bible, love and obedience are always linked. John Smith, who's a vicar, said this: in the Bible, there is no love without obedience. If we have an obedience problem in our relationship with God, then there is a problem with our love for God. I consider myself happily married to a lady who did say obey. From what I can remember, we didn't have a discussion about whether she should or should not say obey at the time. I don't think we've ever had a conversation about it ever since. And I've been married for 27 years. Simply because I've learnt to do what I'm told. But seriously though, if Lynn does something for me, I don't want her to do it because she signed on the dotted line. Because she made a promise. I want her, if she does something for me, obeys what I say, to do it because she loves me. Because it is an act of love, not because I'm a dictator who must be appeased. If I want that sort of obedience, I'll get a dog. I don't like preaching on just one verse in the Bible because I don't like taking verses out of the context of where they're written. But this morning I want us to have one verse ringing in our mind in light of what we've looked at in Exodus. Jesus said this in John 14 and verse 15: if you love me, you will obey what I command. Let's say that together. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey what I command. Simple little phrase. But I want us to explore that this morning with three questions. What is Jesus teaching in that particular little phrase? Why is this teaching important? Why does he say it to his disciples? And how can I actually put it into practice? How does that apply to my life tomorrow morning? So first of all, let's look at the first question then. What is Jesus teaching? That verse in John 14 occurs in a section in the Bible where Jesus is with his disciples. He is having a meal with them. And he knew that the meal that he was having with them would be the last meal that he had with them. He knew that he would soon die and be resurrected. He was sharing with them what was important. He knew that this was the last time they were going to gather as a group of people before he died. Now, I don't know whether you have ever visited anyone or been with anyone who you knew that this was going to be, through illness or through some other reason, the last time that you were ever going to see that person. And if you know that that is the occasion, when you meet that person, you do not normally talk about the weather. You have an important conversation with them. It is very much a heart-to-heart conversation. You may be sharing with them how important they are to you. You tend to say only what is important. And as Jesus is here, as it were, saying goodbye to his disciples, knowing what was going to happen to him, he wants to equip them with the teaching and the information to be disciples when he is not around. For the last 3 years, Jesus has been there, telling them what he wants them to do. But he's going to be gone. And he wants to equip them to be disciples, to be good disciples, when he's not around. And in this section of the gospel, Jesus reminds his disciples of a number of things. And in the middle of this long conversation, we come to the section that contains our verse. And in that section, Jesus gives them two things. He gives them a command that we've just read, and he also gives them a comfort. So first of all, let's think about that command. It's very simple, isn't it? It's very easy to remember. If I asked you next Sunday what this verse was, there's a high chance you might remember it. It's not difficult to understand. It doesn't have any difficult words. But Jesus here links love and obedience. And that is, as I say, the difference between a biblical view and a worldly view. Obedience, says Jesus, is an outward sign of inward love. Lynn actually shouldn't have been here this morning. My dad should have gone into hospital, and Lynn was going to go down and look after my mum, because my mum needs a bit of assistance when my dad's not around. That would have been, obedience to me, but a sign of love, to go and spend a few days with her mum-in-law, who tends to talk quite a lot, who quite often says the same things a number of times. God says obedience needs to be powered by love, not by rules. And if we have a love for Jesus and we want to become a disciple of him, the first thing a disciple does is to be baptized. That's the first act of obedience the disciple does. We're going to have a baptism in the next few weeks. In the Bible, you do not find unbaptized Christians. An unbaptized Christian is a disobedient Christian. Someone who gets baptized is saying, yeah, I love Jesus. And I want to publicly proclaim that by being obedient to a command of Jesus. Being baptized, obeying that command, is done out of love. Look for a moment at John 14 and verse 21. Jesus goes on and says, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. We cannot say we love the Lord if we don't obey his teachings. We cannot say we are true disciples if we don't obey his teachings. It's not a case of just obeying the bits we like. The Ten Commandments are not multiple choice. You don't just pick the ones you like. God says, no, that is my blueprint for living. Our love for God should result in total obedience. While maybe we struggle to take that in, because it challenges us, we need to understand that the person who challenges us to do that always put it into practice. Verse 31 of John 14. Jesus said, the world must learn that I love my Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. We must never lose sight of the fact that Jesus, the man, who lived on earth as we do, who struggled in the same way as we do, but did not sin unlike we do, actually lived his life in perfect obedience to the wishes, to the commands of his Father. And his motivation for doing that was love. We need to understand that Jesus does not ask us to do anything that he hasn't demonstrated for himself. But because Jesus knew that that command was going to be difficult, because he knew it was a challenge to us, he also gives the disciples a comfort. You see, in reality, the commandments of Jesus, and the Ten Commandments for that matter, are not hard. Even non-Christians would say they make a lot of sense. A lot of people who have no believing faith in Jesus would say Jesus was a good teacher. As Lynn and I often go into schools, we see schools' golden rules up on the wall very often in school assemblies. Now, they're not the Ten Commandments. There's no commandment that says do not run in the hallway or whatever. But a lot of them are based on the Ten Commandments. A lot of laws in our land and other lands are based on God's rules. Non-Christians say, yes, they make a lot of sense. They are not hard for us to follow. But the problem is, they are opposite to our natural behavior. They are opposite to the world's behavior as we observe other people. If we're going to obey the commands of Jesus, they require us actually to go against the flow, to be different. And so in order to enable the disciples and us to obey Jesus, to obey his commands, we can only do that through the work of God the Holy Spirit. In verse 25 and 26, Jesus says this: all of this I have spoken while I am still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said to you. As we live our lives, and if we have a real love for God and want to obey him, as we have issues that we deal with, and they will be different for each one of us, God the Holy Spirit will speak into our situation, will say, I don't want you to do that. Or will say, I want you to do that. We may still choose to do what is wrong, but God the Holy Spirit within us will speak to us. Jesus teaches the disciples here that an obedient lifestyle is only possible if we allow the Holy Spirit to control our lives. If we don't build up walls around certain areas and say, well, actually, God, I'll be obedient in other areas, but not this one. God is at work in the heart of every true disciple, helping us to obey the commandments, giving us directions, to show us what God wants in our lives. And if we want to grow close to God, we need to open up our lives and really allow the Spirit into every area to give us prompting and guiding and leading. Because once the Spirit speaks, it's then our responsibility to obey those things. Secondly, why is this teaching important? Obedience matters to God, and we shouldn't treat it lightly. As you look throughout Scripture, that's what God wants from us. God wants us to worship him. He wants us to serve him. But I believe Scripture says more important than either of those things is that God wants to actually change us into new creations. God is more concerned about what is happening inside of us than just obeying a few rules. It's not about what we do. It's about who we are. Who we are on the inside that is important. Church today, the church often concentrates on service and worship. But I believe far more important to God is actually that we live lives that please him. that honour him, that actually witness to the fact that he's doing a work of regeneration in our lives. Remember what God said to Saul through Samuel. He said to Samuel, as the Good News puts it, it is better to obey God than to sacrifice the best sheep to him. King Saul did all the outward signs of worship. He was at the king. He was the king. He went to the temple. He did all the right things. He stood up in the hymns. He sat down when he should. He did what he should do. He did all the outward signs of worship. But as God looked on at Saul, he said, you're offering, as it were, the best sheep to me. But actually, you're not being obedient to me. In your life, you're not being the king that I want you to be. And finally, as we read that part about Saul, God says, I reject you. And he rejected Saul because Saul did not obey. As I said earlier, obedience matters to God. It's not just about outward acts of worship. It's about lives that are lived as an act of worship. Probably very familiar with those words in Romans 12. In the New Living Translation, it puts it like this. As Paul writes to the church in Rome, he writes this, and so, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. His teaching was important because that's what God wants to do. He wants to make us from people who live lives that were disobedient to him, people who lived in darkness, to people who live in light, to people who live lives in a different way to everyone else, who live lives that are being changed by the Holy Spirit. But how can I put that into practice? It's all very well to have a little phrase, well, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. But how does that verse apply to me tomorrow when I go to work? How does that verse impact my relationships and my family life? How can I be an obedient disciple in practice? In my view, the big struggles with obedience are not so much in the big things of life. In the who should I marry, what should I study, where, what line of work should I have, where should I move and where should I live. Because I think often in those big things, we do ask God for guidance. And those things will be different for different people. I believe the really big battle in the life of every disciple is actually in the things that the Bible makes absolutely, totally clear. Of which there is no problem whatsoever. You see, the Bible clearly says what disciples are supposed to do. The Bible says that if we are a disciple, we are to love one another. But the trouble is that God has put me in fellowship with you. And you're in fellowship with me. And God says, actually, I want you to love one another. I've put you together as all sorts of different people, from all sorts of different backgrounds. But actually, I want you to be one. And that is not always easy. I remember reading a lovely book years ago about church growth called Building with Bananas. And it was a brilliant, brilliant book. And it was sort of this picture of trying to build a brick wall with bananas. And it sort of said, well, that's what God's trying to do with us. Disciples are supposed to love one another. They're supposed to forgive people who wrong them. To be truthful, to not tell lies or gossip, to be people who control their lust, to preserve their sexual purity, to be people who control their anger, not to be controlled by money, to be generous givers. Those are the things that the Bible says actually are very clear and very straightforward. And if we're to be a disciple of God, that's what we're meant to be. But the trouble is, actually, we struggle with those things. Those basic things are actually very much the big battle. And it's in those areas often of life that we really need the interaction and the intervention of the Holy Spirit. Obedience is often the biggest battle in the small things. I want to finish by getting you to reflect. And I want to give you some obedience homework. You will be obedient if you do the homework. But I won't know if you have done. I want you for a moment to turn to the Sermon on the Mount in the Bible. Matthew 5. And if you have some form of marker in your Bible, pop it in it. It's page 968 in the Church Bibles. It covers three chapters, so do not despair. We're not going to be reading them all. I just want you to know where the Sermon on the Mount is. Begins at the beginning of chapter 5 with the few verses that might be entitled in your Bible, the Beatitudes, or the Beautiful Attitudes, as I prefer to describe them. The attitudes that Jesus wants people who are disciples of him, who are part of the kingdom, to have. Jesus said, "This is my ideal." And he gives a lovely little bit of sort of poetry as to how he puts those. And then from verse 13 onwards, Jesus unpacks the Ten Commandments. Jesus works through the Ten Commandments and says, actually, this is how to work them out in practice. Jesus says, I want you to live an obedient lifestyle in light of those rules that I have given you. And it's a great place to start because verse 1 of the chapter tells us that this is teaching for disciples. And then it finishes in chapter 7 with the story of the two builders. That lovely illustration of the two guys who went to build a house, one on sand, one on rock. And Jesus said, you are a wise builder if you build your life on the teaching that I've just given you. In verse 16 of the sermon, Jesus says this, let your light shine before men. Jesus says, I want you to be people who are different. As you live an obedient lifestyle, actually you're going to have an impact on those around you. And I wonder this morning, do people see the discipleship lifestyle in us? Do they see that actually we're working our lives and living our lives to a different set of rules? That actually truth does matter to us. The morality matters to us. And then Jesus, as he works through the chapter, looks at the big obedience battles in life. It looks at things like murder, adultery, divorce, revenge, love for enemies, giving, prayer. It looks at various everyday things, fasting, treasures in heaven, not worrying, judging other people. He looks at very practical issues. And as he looks at those, he uses one phrase over and over again. The phrase that he uses over and over again, he says, you've heard it said, but I say to you, look for a moment at verse 27 of chapter 5. You have heard that it was said, do not commit adultery. But I say to you, that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And Jesus, as he said to the people there time and time again, he says, look, you've heard it said. You know the commandments. But actually, it's more than just a list. Actually, I want you to do something different. And he says to the peoples, forget the rules, get hold of and obey the principle. Let me look at that adultery one just as an example. The commandments say, do not commit adultery. We know that. We've studied that in the last few weeks. We've studied all the Ten Commandments. But Jesus says this, you've heard it said, do not commit adultery, but I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Jesus says, don't get hung up with a rule, get hold of the principle. Because what the people were saying, well, is, okay, I have not committed adultery. I've been faithful to my wife. But the way I think and the way I look at women is something that is not going to bring pleasure to God. It's no good us looking at the Ten Commandments and saying, well, I will not commit adultery. Fine. But I will go on the web and look at porn sites. I will buy magazines off the top shelf in the newsagent. Jesus says you're forgetting the principle. He says, forget the rule. Don't just put it into a small little thing. We'll say, well, I'm not doing that. Get hold of the principle of what it means to be an obedient disciple. Jesus does that time and time again. Jesus says it's the principle that is at stake. I want you to be different people. I want you to be living your life in a different way. And your homework, should you choose to accept it, is to go home and just read through the Sermon on the Mount. Read through those practical things that Jesus says. Oh yes, we know the rules. But actually, do we really understand the principle? Because it's only as we obey the principle that we actually shine before men. Let's think and reflect on how we can show our love for God by living an obedient lifestyle. This country needs Christians to be disciples, to be followers of the teachings of Jesus, to be people who do obey. I was listening to what someone said this week. A person who has turned their back on church. And they've turned their back on church and they say, because people are hypocrites. What they do in church does not match what I see them doing outside. And that person has gone totally away from Christian things. May we as Christian people be willing to obey the commands, to show our love for the Lord by what we do. Sometimes it is a struggle. That's life. But let's make sure that we get hold of the principle and don't just say, well, we're keeping some rules. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that out of your love for us, you gave us 10 rules. But we ask that you might help us to see the principle behind those rules. Lord, that we might truly understand what it means to obey your teaching, to put into practice the way you want us to live. Father, we ask that we might indeed break down those walls, that we might allow your Spirit into every area of our lives, so that we might be people who shine for you. Lord, we ask your forgiveness for times when we let you down, when we let each other down. But we ask that you might help us to continue to struggle and continue to work at all those things that we find difficult. Most of all, knowing that you're not someone who wants us to keep a set of rules, but you're a God who loves. You're a God who longs to forgive. You want us to come into a relationship with you in order that one day we might stand before you faultless, not because of what we've done, or because of rules that we have kept, but because of the fact that Jesus died in our place. But Lord, while we wait, we ask that you might help us to show our love for you by the fact that we obey what you say and don't just read it. Amen. Let's sing our final song, Shine, Jesus Shine. The world needs you and I to shine for God, wherever we might be this week. Lord, the light of your love is shining, in the midst of the darkness shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us. Set us free by the truth you now bring us. Shine on me. Let's stand and sing.
Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us, set us free.
Let's say the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Please sit down. Our service is finished. If you'd like to pray with someone, please feel free to come forward after people have begun to go into the other room. If you're a visitor through there is tea and coffee.